Have you been trying to navigate the world around you, feeling like you're behind or you're missing something? Do you feel like you're riding a lawnmower in the fast lane of life? Well, you've come to the right place. Michael Lee and RB will break down and demystify the world of technology, health, and culture, leaving no stone unturned. So join us as we take this lawnmower into the fast lane and ride into the second half of life. Welcome to Lawnmower in the Fast Lane. Well, welcome to Lawnmower in the Fast Lane, where we ensure no person of a certain age is left behind. We're your hosts. I'm Michael Lee.
And it's me, RB.
And thank you for joining us today, where we're going to be talking about spirituality and religion.
Great topic, Michael. I cannot wait to hear your views on it.
I'm taking an intro to science class. And I initially thought this class was going to be kind of like, let's dissect frogs and stuff, though I don't know how I would have done that virtually, but you never know. And one of the things that we've talked a lot about in the class is science and how that fits into reality versus religion versus all these things with critical thinking. So then it just opened me up. I knew we were going to have this topic, but I was kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm having a little bit of a religious / science / spirituality overload. So just to start off with, I think it'd be kind of fun just to ask, and you don't have to give too much detail. I am very transparent, but not everybody is. What are your personal religious / spiritual beliefs?
That's actually a large question, I think, for a lot of people. For me, I don't support a lot of religious ideologies. Mm-hmm. Spirituality, I have not supported those that thinking either until I studied for this episode. Oh. And it kind of gave me the impression maybe it's something I need to look into a little deeper. And I think it's something I need to start. In fact, I was just recently laying around the pool earlier. I was laying in the sun, and I was thinking about spirituality and how the benefits of it that I've discovered when doing research for this episode. And I think it's something that I can take on. That being said, a long time ago, I made a little report on a thing called a blue zone, which is an area, I brought it up before, but there are zones around the world where people tend to live to be centurions. There's more people to live to be 100 in these certain locations. There's 5 documented blue zones around the world. They became study groups. People came and started studying these areas where people regularly live to be 100 years old. And they came, they tried to, and they're not all in the same place. One's in Japan, one's in Central America, one's in the U.S., in California, Loma Linda. And so they're all over the place. One's in Italy. And so they tried to find similarities between these groups of people that were living to be 100. And I'll try and make this short as I can. I think they came up with a list of like 7 things that they all had in common. One of them was they were all spiritual, was the word they used. Meaning, and I believe most of them were religious because they're older people, and older people tend to, I think as people age, religion becomes more a larger part of their life. And if you're living to be 100, you're hitting, you know, I think it's all fallen into place a little more for you. So that being said, I did want to bring that up because it made a impact in, you know, in my thinking. And then in studying for this, I've decided that I think I want to accept at least spirituality. And if not, maybe I'm open to religion too. I just, you know, it kind of, unfortunately, religion has been around so long, it's had a lot of opportunity to take some bad beats. And I think it's really not it's not accepted by everyone wholeheartedly right now. So any case, that was my long version. Michael, what is your spiritual or religious feelings? Yeah.
Well, I have kind of a, it's always been kind of a joke around my world. I actually have kind of a, I'd say checkered, but I don't know if that's the right word, but I was born and raised Catholic and went to a private Catholic school for a number of years. And then my mom came into my life and we became Lutheran. And due to many circumstances, mostly because I questioned too much, I left the Lutheran church. Then I met somebody and got kind of swindled into the Mormon church. And that's a whole story in and of itself. And then I came out as gay and was excommunicated from the Mormon church. And so I've had kind of a, I realize now over time that I've really had a search for knowledge. And then I kind of moved into a realm of spirituality. And if people were to ask me, which, you know, you get asked all the time, like, when you go to the hospital or things, I consider myself a spiritual Christian. I believe a lot of the Christian doctrine, but it's not a religion for me. But I also consider myself really into spirituality, energies, and things of that sort. I used to be really big about saying, wow, that's really woo-woo. And I've kind of stepped away from that because I think as the older I get, my search for meaning has kind of broadened. And I think that's what's really happened for me is my perception of what is right, wrong, godly, not godly, all that has really morphed and changed over the years. But I think I couldn't be where I'm at if I had not been, you know, Catholic, Lutheran, Mormon, because each one of those, I realized really was my search for trying to find something in the greater beyond what we are. Which I think that's really what it comes down to for spirituality and religion. And I think as we get older, which I have reasons that I think that I kind of questioned about that, which I think a lot of it has to do with which we talk a lot about on this podcast, which is when you're trying to find joy, you become less self-centered, which we all, I think we tend to use that term in a negative way, but I think we discussed this on the last episode about when we're younger, there's a trend to be kind of self-centered. You know, we're focused on us.
Definitely.
And, yeah. And then we get a little older and all of a sudden it's kind of like, well, look at the world around me. There's more there. I think this podcast is a perfect age demographic for when you kind of shift. You shift and you're going, well, now I want something deeper. I want something more meaningful. You start thinking about getting older. You think about dying. You think about what's the meaning of life more than you do when you're younger. And that leads a lot of people to spirituality or religion.
I believe that's true. I think as you age and you get closer to death and you realize it, God becomes a greater piece of your overall existence.
No, I think that's yeah. Absolutely true. I think we're all trying to, that's part of like the thing that was interesting in the science classes. I feel like it's kind of questioning what I do and don't believe, which I hate because I feel pretty comfortable with what I do and don't believe. But then when you're seeing these things from a scientific perspective, we cannot figure out whether there is life after death. There's been nothing to prove there's ghosts. There's nothing to prove that there's energy. But I also think that science in general cannot necessarily, even though it's all about scientific method, trying to prove what's real, what's not real, what's scientific, I also believe it goes way beyond that. There's a book by somebody, I would love to get her on the show, by the way, Dr. Laura Berman. If you listen to this podcast, you would be part of my dream show, just to let you know. But she wrote a book called Quantum Love. And it's the first time I've ever learned about quantum physics. And it has a lot to do with energies and energies that we are, the way we're created. And the part I love about it is that there is some very interesting thing about energies. They are scientifically showing things in labs. Like, there's more to the world than what I see right in front of me.
Yeah, and I think there's a case for me anyway. How do we know from a science standpoint if we're advanced or not? I mean, how advanced is our science to be able to tell us things that we should believe right now? I mean, basically, the way I see it is science just hasn't proven one way or the other because they haven't gotten to that point yet. It's not that neither exists or doesn't exist or any of these things that we can imagine can take place. We just haven't been able to prove it yet, is the way I see it. I tend to think that we think we're smarter than we really are. Like a good example is, for me, is an IQ test. I mean, I realize what they're used for and I realize where they come from, mm-hmm. but who really determined that this person that created this IQ test is the smartest one? It is the person that should challenge everyone else with their test? If you kind of know what I'm saying.
Right. I think IQ tests are very interesting. It's very similar to me and my mindset. So I've never been very book smart. Like I can figure things out. I'm a smart person, but I'm more smart because of my life experiences. And an IQ test doesn't take that into consideration. It says, well, you're smart based on this number that says you're this smart or this smart. When I'm sitting down with a group of people, can I have a conversation that's deep and meaningful? And also talk about dumb pop culture things. Yes, yes. This is what I am. So no, I think you bring up, that's a really great point about IQ tests.
Well, and I think they fall in the same category as science to me also. I mean, we don't know that we don't know things. I think there's things out there like right in front of me that I'm looking at right now that can't be explained just because we're not smart enough to be able to explain them. But we tend to think, well, it hasn't been proven. So there you go. You know, the religious people have been doing this for thousands of years. They've been saying, look, I talked to God yesterday and he told me that you guys need to start acting this way and things like, there's no way to refute that. And there's still no way to refute it. So In reality, as far as I'm concerned, there is a chance that's correct.
And I think that's really what it comes down to. You know, I think you do, like I said, get to a certain point in life, you're just like, there's something beyond this. There's something that's more than just going through each day and working and making money and trying to have energy and trying to live life. Like, there's something more that's there. For me, it's always been, there is a higher power of some sort. I don't know. I've always said this. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. There's an author that my husband and I really love, and she talks about that. She says, you know, I don't care what you call God or Allah or whatever. It's the idea that you have something that you are, I don't want to say idolized, that you're looking up to, that you have like a something that's bringing you enough joy and peace that it's taking you further to the next step in your life, and you have something that you believe in.
Yeah, and as you age, also, if I can just carry that just a step further, if I'm old, I'm not feeling well, I get a feeling I'm not, you know, going to be around much longer, I'm going to die, there's a chance I may meet this guy. Whoever George is or yeah. Allah, I may run into Allah once I die. And not only that, you know, he may have been watching and saw me be mean to the physically challenged kid in grade school there that one time when I was did something wrong. And you know, I was mean to people at work. I was foul mouthed and I did things that now that I'm at the end of my life, I wish I hadn't done. And I need to, kind of make amends, because I don't want to get into the next stage of life or whatever it is that we don't know is going to happen and end up, you know, burning in hell for the rest of my life, or having to pay the price of being a bad person while I was on this earth. And I think that is a challenge to a lot of people as they age also.
That was part of something that I tried to find, is really the biggest differences between spirituality and being religious. I know one of the things, and to me, one of the biggest basics between both sides, and this wasn't even in here, it's just something I just literally came up with, is just being, treating your brother as you would want to be treated, or your sister,
yeah,
or treating somebody else like you want to be treated. I think it's really important because, you know, I grew up in multiple churches, like I said, that said, if you're gay, you're going to go to hell. You can't go to heaven if you're gay. And I remember at a younger age when I thought something was different about me. So if I do all the things that I'm supposed to do to be a good person based on what the Bible tells me or my church tells me, so I can do all these things, I can be a good person, I can try to treat everybody like I like to be treated. But because of this one thing, I'm going to hell.
Well, I was going to say, and I looked up pros and cons for religious and spirituality, and I have kind of some little bullet lines. But if you look up religion cons, first of all, you get more hits on the internet than anything else you can type in regarding this. Number two, one of the bigger is they curtail freedoms. They put you in a box, religion does, put you in a box and says, this is how you have to act. And it doesn't allow you to be yourself. And as far as a con is concerned, I'm not saying because I said that I don't think religion has a purpose, because there are pros also.
Yeah.
But you're right. You shouldn't burn in hell.
But I personally don't believe in hell. And that came from my discovery of all the different churches. And I know that goes against what some people think. And that's why sometimes it's interesting when somebody will say, what are you? And I'll say a spiritual Christian, and they'll say, which one? And I'll be like, both. And I read a whole bunch of things online that said, you know, you can be both. You can be a spiritual person and be a Christian. You can be spiritual and religious at the same time.
Now, is it Christian because some Christian churches, you don't burn in hell if you're gay in Christianity? Is that why Christian? Or have you discovered, is there a bigger reason that you've discovered maybe there's less conflict with the Christian religion and science? Are you saying that possibly?
I would say for me personally, so I'm a spiritual person. I believe in spirituality and all of that portion of things. But I also believe in the basic doctrines of Christianity. I don't go to church. I don't feel that it's some, I've never felt comfortable at church. I loved my youth group when I was younger because it was social. And that's one of the sides of religion. It's social. But I feel like I believe in a lot of the basic doctrines. I believe in a lot of the basic, like Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit and all that. I don't subscribe to any particular church. I don't prescribe to a particular religion. I feel like Christian's all encompassing, which means you basically believe in God and Christianity. I don't subscribe to any particular church because, you know, one of the things that I read about, which was a common theme when it comes to religion in general, and we're on this podcast making no judgments, just for people who might be, you know, very religious.
Exactly.
But one of the common things, and I think this comes from everywhere, is the idea that our way is right, whatever religion you're in. I heard a joke once. At the time, it was supposed to be really funny, and then over time, I've realized it's actually really a true kind of joke, which was pass away, you die, and you go to the heavenly gates. And Saint Peter says, want to go on the tour? Like, here's heaven. You see the angels with the harps. You see the clouds. Everything's great. And you start wandering through and he goes, let me show you where everything's at. He goes, so over there, that's where we have harp lessons. Those are every Saturday. Over here, that's where the pets are. If you want to go and play with your pet, they're just right over here. Over there, that's if you just want to go to a Bible study. And over there, that's the lunchroom cafeteria. And he walks by this big, giant wall, And he goes, what's going on over there? He goes, well, that's the compound. And he goes, what's in the compound? And he goes, oh, that's the Mormons. The Mormons? Yeah, they think that they're all alone up here. And I always, when I was a Mormon, people would make that joke. But then I feel like that's a joke that could honestly be set for any religion, any particular religious sect. Because like I said, no judgment to anybody, but Catholics, you're going to die. You go to heaven with the other Catholics. If you die, and I'm making a very generalization, like I said, I don't want anybody to come after us, our whole 15 listeners. I think that that's the thing that why I don't subscribe to a particular religious. Everybody thinks that their religion is the religion. And if you don't believe in theirs, you're going to go to hell or whatever they believe.
And I think that's the biggest knock. If you look up religion cons, that's going to be one of the biggest knocks, is they force you to follow their rules a little bit, depending on which religion we're talking about. They have their own set of rules, and inside of their rules, they kind of make it a big deal out of saying, if you're doing, you don't listen to what those other religions are saying because they're wrong. I mean, and it's very obvious that no other religion works other than the one that that they want you to follow. And that's a big knock. And I think that deters a lot of people. I almost feel like I was thinking about it today. You know, when you're a young person, because I think that drives a wedge between you and religion personally. Yeah. And I think religion has some good qualities that I think should all be following a lot of the stuff that they teach. But when you're a young child, they should almost give you a primer on religion and let you choose the one that fits your thinking a little better in a way. Because the way it is now, if I grew up in a household and everyone's a Christian, then I'm a Christian, whether I want to be or not. And my friend across the street, who I'm going to end up marrying one day, she's a Catholic. And, I guess I can't get married to her unless I'm a Catholic. So, I have to change. I think it's its own worst enemy in a way. I think it drives a wedge between it and religion and the church, and the fact that they're trying to draw people in. And I think they're doing a bad job of it. That's just they're managing their people poorly.
And I agree with you. I think that's like the cons, but on the, there are some pros. Part of it is, maybe it gives you something to believe in, and maybe you do become part of a church that you feel really inclined to connect with. And those people that you connect with, I mean, that's part of the plus, right? Is maybe you all do believe that. I'm trying to think of an idea, but maybe
just similar beliefs. You all have the same similar beliefs. There's less conflict with you and your friends that way, or the people.
And maybe
in the
that's
church.
Just what you believe. Like maybe you all do believe that, in like Mormonism, maybe you all really do believe that, there was a Book of Mormon and an angel came down and spoke to Joseph Smith. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's just not how I am personally, but it's definitely, for some people it works really well.
I agree with you 100%. Religion gives people the most important thing. It gives people hope. Yes. A flood comes and takes out your city where you live and everything's wiped out and you're walking around in mud kind of going, what happened? What's tomorrow going to look like? How am I going to get out of this? I don't have a job anymore. I mean, everything's, but I have hope. I'm going to live, I'm going to survive, I'm going to get through this, and it's going to, we're going to rebuild like the $6 million man, and we're going to rebuild better.
And that's really what it is. I mean, I will say I have family members, and both in-laws and on the other side, on my own family. And the first thing when something happens, they'll say, I'm going to sit down and pray. And the thing is, and my husband and I have said this often, is if it's not hurting anybody, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's when it crosses that line. Like if my mom is part of a church that has a prayer chain, and I think it's great. It gives a sense of community. It gives power. And once again, for me personally, it ties into spirituality because now you're sending energy out into the world that's positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's able to create positive changes, and then it encompasses good things. So how can it be bad? And I think as we get older, you want to be tied to that. And I know a lot of people who the first thing when there's challenges, they sit down and pray. And I'm like, I think that's awesome. I pray in my own way and I send energy to people. And it maybe to some that doesn't sound good, but it's not like I'm not sending woo-woo energy, I guess, in a way. Like, even if I did, it didn't matter, but I'm not sitting here like, let me send energy from my soul. I'm just trying to like put out into the world good and put goodness out there because I believe that having good, positive thoughts and thinking can actually make a change and make a difference. Science may not prove that, but I believe that.
Yeah, and that's fine. And well, I think it's okay for you to have your own beliefs, even, you know, maybe they follow your whatever religion you follow, or maybe they don't. But in any case, another thing that I discovered a long time ago, and I don't know why specifically, but I think religion has a really good, or at least the church, it's very valuable in the fact that it teaches young people, specifically morals, and how to behave, you know, because a lot of times family environment, the parents are gone all the time, the kids are going to school. I think there's a chance that, you know, some parents, and I'm not naming names, I hope this isn't the case, but, you know, I think a lot of times people expect the school district to teach their kids more than just math. You know, they expect them to be full, well-rounded, you know, honest individuals to have the right morals. And in a lot of ways, they try and teach that, but I don't think they're taking classes on how to be the best people they can
right.
be. They don't do that. And I think religion, actually, the way it's written in the scripture, it's actually trying to do a better job of making people better. And I think that's important because, you know, some of these families, they're working two jobs, poor people, you know, unfortunately, that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
They're gone all the time. The parents are gone. And so the kids, they're kind of raising themselves, especially in these poor environments. They sort of, you know, they make their own decisions a lot of time, and then they go to school. And I think religion has a big part of making them better people, or it can anyway. And that's something that I've thought for a long time, that religion has that power. And I'd like to see it. I've always felt that we should be forced to go to church as young people, you know, at least until we're 10 years old, to just kind of get a good base of who we want to be, and then be allowed to kind of branch off from there. So in any case, I think that's another a pro for religion, is it helps us become who we are, better people.
I'm actually going to give you kudos on that. I look back as you're saying that. So like I said, biggest portion of my life, we were Lutheran. And the Lutheran church, they teach you, like, you go to a class, you learn the doctrine, you learn before you can have communion. It's, you know, you take these classes. But before then, it was a big part of my life when I was younger, was we had a youth group that was our church youth group. And, you know, in the summer we do vacation Bible school, which I love because we go and we learn all this neat stuff around sharing and things in your littler. And it gives us something to do for the summer for a week. You know, my parents could be like, get over to vacation Bible school. But also as a youth group, though, it was really neat because I think part of it was my experience in the Lutheran church more than another church. We'd have youth group and it'd be things like getting to have the chance to go water skiing or a trip where we would go camping for, you know, 5 days or 4 days. And having the being able to learn how to socialize was a big part of it. But then we'd still have these conversations around God and what God is and what that means and what's right and what's wrong. And also, one of the things that the Lutheran Church did teach me from a very young age is autonomy, and teaching me that, you know, you still have the ability, God gave you free will. And that's something I learned really young, and I definitely practice that. But then on top of all of that, we would watch like movies that would be scary movies or movies that maybe were not the most appropriate. But it made me kind of go, oh, like this is okay. I can go to church, but I can also watch, you know, this really dumb movie, or I can do this. I think that's what I have where I get conflicted with churches that are so stringent. It's like, you can't watch this kind of movie. You can't talk like this. You can't do this. And I actually, for a really long time until I hit my teenage years for specific reasons, I loved going to church. I loved seeing the same people every week. And I'd go there and I'd see them, or, you know, having that consistency was real important to me as a child. And they also, though, taught me, and I think this is the big part, which I'm going to get into, I think, here. Well, maybe I won't even get into. We haven't really touched our notes, and I love it. Is it also taught me a lot about giving back.
Right.
Yeah, we did car washes, Habitat for Humanity, different events that were volunteer events that our church group did. And that gave me a sense of purpose at a young age, too. And coming from a very fractured home, it was such a safe place for me. I really owe the church as a young age setting a lot of things for me in place that I think I carried over into my life.
Exactly. I love the way you said it. You owe them. Yeah. And they can be so helpful, especially for people like you that, you know, from where you were from. Also, one thing to add in there, where you were and what you were just talking about, it's a real positive environment.
Yes.
It's super, it's almost hyper, you know, let's all have, you know, do this and have fun. I went to church. I was a Lutheran. I went to a Lutheran church until I was about 8 years old. And I kind of have those same type of memories. Of course, I didn't do it in my teens, but it was real positive. We went to you know, Bible study and all that kind of stuff. And the kids were good and we had a lot of fun and it was a positive environment. And yeah, I kind of liked it. You know, it was a long, long time ago for someone like me. But
I have a photo album that I found recently. You know, we talk a lot about looking at past pictures and stuff, a whole photo album. Almost all the pictures are from my church youth group. And it was weird. They're horrible pictures because I didn't know what I was doing to take pictures, but I still was looking. I'm like, oh, I remember this, or, oh, that was really fun.
Now, do you ever see any of those people, or do you still are in touch with that group, or did you end up having to essentially cut that cord?
Well, honestly, what happened was for me, my parents divorced. And when they divorced, a lot of things happened in the church as well. My parents' relationship fell apart. And then shortly thereafter, our pastor's relationship fell apart. I think he really lost his faith. It really carried over into, for me, I wasn't super like close with him, but I do remember starting questioning things around the time I watched him questioning things in his faith. As I stepped away, unfortunately, I kind of stepped away from that group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And when and because of my parents' divorce, I had to leave. And so I tried to stay in touch and tried to go a few times, but it just, you know, you get older, and we were teenagers getting older, and we just were at a point. I don't even think my mom from time to time still talks. She ended up not staying at that church too. She went to a different version of the Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could. I've thought about it over the times. I wish I could reconnect and see where their lives all went. But then part of me kind of goes, no, I want to kind of keep that where it was at. It's really a treasured memory for me. And I'm thankful for it. But at this point in my life, I don't even know like what we would talk about. You know, I feel it was so long ago.
Yeah. And there's too much life that's taken place from to where you are now. But if you had stayed in touch, maybe you would have, you know, things to talk about, similarities or differences that you want to discuss. I was just curious.
When I hit high school years, like my closest friends and I, we were very anti everything, you know. It wasn't goth yet. It was like kind of the early version of goth. But we would sit and talk about how we hated everything. Screw the establishment. Mm-hmm. Screw religion. Screw this. It's all stupid. We would have great conversations about spirituality, earth, energy, the goddesses. And it was kind of all woo-woo-y and goofy and what you think about in high school. But some of the stuff did carry over with my friends and I. I think we can have conversations now about spirituality and what that means for us.
Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance, I took a class a long time ago on Greek mythology. And have you studied Greek or read any of those books? So Zeus would stand there and kind of like a puppet master, he would manipulate people. So that's that energy you're talking about. It almost gives credibility because, you know, Homer wrote this stuff, you know, when man was just on earth, you know, so there is a little bit of credibility there is all I wanted to bring up on that. I think it's a great conversation and I think we're doing a good job so far.
Yeah, no. I think sometimes I think a different direction and I love it.
I do too. I think that makes for a better broadcast.
Growing up in a religious home is, you know, one thing, but as we age, as we get older, that's when we do start questioning all these things. And I wonder kind of like, what's the benefit between each thing? Like, is there benefits to spirituality as compared to religion? Is there, like you said, is there pros or cons? You know, I started looking at this too, like some of the benefits of having religious and spiritual natures around you as you get older.
My own personal feeling is if a person can have religion in their life at a young age and have it stick with them, or not religion, but let's just say religion / spirituality with them their entire life, I think they live a better life. I think they live a happier life.
I have a little study which will kind of tie into this, I think.
Okay.
In 2017, by the way, I don't know if you ran into this too, it's really hard to find information on statistics of religions within the last 5 or 6 years. There's very little research on it, believe it or not, that I could find. But there is a survey of 2,000 Americans in 2017. Some of these numbers surprised me. 31% of Americans in this survey of 2,000, 31% identified as neither spiritual or religious. So that could be atheist. It could be agnostic.
That's a big number. Yeah.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised because I don't know a lot of people that are agnostic or atheist or don't have any religious or spiritual identity. But you were saying at the beginning you're working on that. So I guess I didn't.
I mean, I had made my own choice that I wasn't going to, but it's just because I didn't really know what options were out there. And I decided that religion wasn't my option. And so I didn't. You know, I've only just recently discovered meditation or spirituality. I didn't even know it existed, to be honest. That's how naive my life has been. But keep going. So 31%.
Well, 29% consider themselves both spiritual and religious. So I guess I'm in that 29%.
Mm-hmm.
22% consider themselves not spiritual, but religious. and 18% identify as spiritual and not religious. We've got 22% is the religious, 18% is spiritual. But it said majority of those people that identify as spiritual but not religious maintain connections to faith-based organizations, but they just don't participate. So similar to me, like I employ the doctrine, but I don't participate.
And that makes sense. You know, people have busy lives, especially in the U.S.
Well, and that kind of led to the other part that I had about difference between religious and spirituality. And one of the biggest difference, which I, after thinking about it, made a lot of sense, was spirituality tends to be more individualistic.
Yes.
Because it's your own, it's what you believe. And there's a, there's communities for it, but it does tend to be very individualistic as opposed to religion, which is more of a group dynamic. It's a kind of a, for people who are into school lingo that I'm learning, it's more of a group think as opposed to an individual, you know, faction, I guess.
This is coming from a negative standpoint, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm not trying to be anti-religion, and this may sound that way, but it's not. It's not my intent, but there was a study, a recent global study done in 2017, and the question was, does religion do more harm than good in the world? And you got to kind of think open-mindedly. There's a lot of religious wars out there, a lot of death from religion. 49% are in agreement of this global study that religion does more harm than good because they pit one religion against the other and, essentially and create harm. And then the 51% disagree that religion creates harm. So I found that interesting because it was so close.
That is close. It comes back to that stringentness. So many people obey and believe and stick to what the church or whatever their religion is. This is the way things are, period.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where it's hard. You know, I've known people that have said, I don't believe being gay is okay. Well, why don't you believe that? The church has told me.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
And look at the Catholic religion. And again, I don't mean to,
yeah.
Here we go, but don't use condoms and things like that. I think that is backward thinking. I just think it's not the way to do it. And you know what? I'm going to cut that out because it sounds like I'm slamming the church, churches. But
there is something to the idea that it's hard to be part of a religion order. And I'm just going to call it that in regards to any religion, any sect that you're part of, and not feel like there's some type of contrition that exists within that church and your free will. And a lot of churches, like I said, I got really lucky and we talked about free will, and a lot of churches don't allow you to have that type of free will if you're going to be staying within the confines of the church.
Yeah.
On the flip side, not that I'm trying to force one thing or another, I do know that with spirituality, it's more of a personal journey. And I think that's why we're seeing it happen more often. Personal journey, you evolve through the experience. One of the things I had read, which was on this website called happierhuman.com, talked about the progression of beliefs. In spirituality, it's more personal journey changes and evolves through experience. It's more of an open forum of life and can consistently change thoughts. It's interesting, like I said, the science thing, because with science, one thing they told us is that really good science changes because things change.
Yeah. Now that I'll buy. Yeah. And I can see that as we learn, as we continue to learn, as we learn more, our definitions change and our path that we're taking changes. Just like this podcast, you know, we start out with a general headline of what we're going to talk about, and then we trail off onto these different paths that as we bring up different points to each other. Yeah, I have human spirituality being composed of three aspects: relationships, values, and life purpose. And like you said, all internal. So it's you and your relationships with others and how you feel about them, and along with your values. And that's how you become spiritual. And then you have to define your own life purpose and what's important to you. And Michael, no, it's not to make as much money as you possibly can.
Now I need to change everything I believed. I do have some things I found that I really loved because it bridges the gap between both spirituality and religion.
Oh, I like this. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't bridge. Well, I guess I could, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah. So what I found, just kind of in my search, and this is my own thoughts, actually, I didn't steal this from anybody. So I was trying to think of ways that both of them enrich our lives, how to improve our health as we age. And so one thing that I saw was that the path, so I put in here, path to improved health. I was thinking about what is a way to get to improved health when you're dealing with religious and spirituality. So I think that the biggest thing with both of them is they give you a better sense of well-being no matter which side you fall on.
I agree.
I think it gives you a sense of meaning, a sense of purpose, whether it mean that it's that you go to church every Sunday and you get to be the person who lights all the candles. It's a purpose. It's a meaning. It's something that you can do that's on both sides. Another thing that improves you is you identify things that give you inner peace. And I think that that can be so broad, whether it be reading a Bible, whether it be meditating, whether it be just laying. I love to go hiking. And one of my things I do when I go hiking is about halfway, I stop, have a little trail mix. I have a little journal that my sister-in-law gave me, and I write a little bit of thoughts and just stop and just breathe. And it gives me peace. It brings inner peace to my life because there's nothing out around me. Which goes into the next thing I had, which was it gives you the chance to set aside time to do things that fill you spiritually. And that could be, like I said, prayer. Maybe it means you do the confession box with the priest. Maybe that really fills you spiritually to be able to get that all that stuff off of your chest and be able to confess things. Maybe it means lighting a candle. Maybe it means going hiking. Once again, meditating is a big thing, I think, in either side. And then the last thing that I had to improve your health is the social connection. I think whether you're at church or you're even having an individual spiritualistic, I think there's ways you connect to the earth and you connect in different ways. You may even be connecting to other people who have the same beliefs as you. And I think that social connection is really important. We've talked a lot about that as we age. What are your final thoughts on religion and spirituality?
I thought this was a great podcast. I learned from you just in talking to you. The way your notes worked were different than mine. You were trying to meld the, you know, look for the positive aspects in both and see how they meshed up against each other. And I was looking for the differences, kind of. And it's that probably says something right there between our two personalities. I'm not sure. I don't want to give my differences, though, because I like the way you did it. And so in ending, to answer your question now, which I hit on earlier, I kind of think it's important for all of us to have some kind of greater meaning. What's the meaning of life? Thoughts and discussions, whether it's religious or an individual kind of feel. I just think it's important for all of us to have that. And the older we get, the more those thoughts are going to be with us, because, you know, we don't want to jump into the next stage of life having screwed up this stage of life. And I think that a lot of people think that way. I'm not saying that that's the case, but I like it. I learned a lot here, and I actually I liked this discussion and the way it went. How about yourself? What are you thinking about this podcast?
I really enjoyed doing this podcast, actually. It's kind of fun to do something that's not our normal, which maybe this will be our new normal. I don't know. I'll reiterate kind of something I said earlier. If it's not hurting anybody, but it gives you a grounding of a belief, I don't see why it's harmful at all, as long as it's not hurting anybody. And I think that that's where the fine line comes in, is like, where are you hurting people and where are you not? If you want to be spiritual and it brings you joy and it makes your life better and gives you a strong belief in who you are, go for it. If religion does that for you, go for it. Just remember, I think that we are all still on this journey. And as we get older, we are going to be thinking about things about death, what's bigger out there. And I guess my big takeaway is just don't be afraid to believe what you're going to believe, because as long as it's not hurting anybody. And I say that often, but it doesn't hurt to say a prayer for somebody, even if you're not religious. It doesn't hurt to tell somebody that I'm sending some healing thoughts your way, as opposed to praying. There's nothing wrong with saying, I believe in a God. It's not hurting anybody. And it's only when that infringes on the rights of other people and it's hurting people, then I question it. But I think we all are on a path to try to discover ourselves, and that includes spirituality and religion. So with that, I will honestly send out some good thoughts to all of our listeners. And hope you all stay safe out there. Please just feel free to send us what's your thoughts on religion? What's your thoughts on spirituality? We'd love to hear about them, and we'd love to be able to share them if you're okay with that. I'm really excited to hear some feedback on this. I feel like maybe I missed something, but until we hear that, we hope to, you know, see you out there on all of our social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, everything out there. So feel free to reach out to us and keep yourself safe and have a great, great week.
You've just experienced another Lawnmower in the Fast Lane podcast, which means it's now time for a brand new segment of Perspectives. Michael Lee and I will now talk about the same topic from different perspectives. Michael Lee, do you have a topic for us today?
I do. I had a thought the other day. I was going to ask you, if you were trapped on an island and you could only have 3 albums in your collection of music to listen to, what would they be?
That's an interesting one, because, of course, and I think this is probably the same case for everyone, but you have a favorite song, but... Mm-hmm. And it comes on an album, of course, but not necessarily, I mean, all the songs on that album are your favorite, you know, are as good as that favorite song. So I think if I was trapped on an island with 3 albums, I would pick albums that have all good songs on them. And this all takes place before you were born, before your parents were born, probably. But there's a couple of them, actually. One, you're familiar with Joe Jackson. His first album was a pretty good album, and I like that one. There's another one by Rod Stewart and the Faces, Every Picture Tells a Story. Every song on that one's good. And then there's another one by Carole King that I know of called Tapestry.
Yes.
And every song on that album is good. And so I'd be going for volume because, you know, Michael, I only have 3 albums to listen to. I might as well try and grab as many songs as I can. It seems like there's more jazz albums, but I can't think of them. Like maybe a Grover Washington Jr. Mr. Magic. I kind of forget all the songs on that, but... There's a couple others out there that I just can't remember. You know why? Because I'm too old. Hey, Case, how about yourself?
It's funny, actually. I was just thinking, I thought I knew exactly what they were, and then you hit a good point about, like, the collections. I kind of just go with some of my favorites, of course. So The Cure, which is one of my favorite bands of all time. Actually, my favorite band. I'd probably take their live album Show because it's a very good retrospective of everything they were at during one of their best lineups that they ever had. The album by the singer that I really love, Darren Hayes, is a really powerful album about a whole story of his life called This Delicate Thing We've Made. And then I would probably choose the greatest 80s alternative hits. So I have a little variety in there.
Ah, so this is a multiple artist type album.
Yeah, something that would be just like, here's like the greatest alternative 80s hits of, and it'd be, hopefully I'd find one that has like 20 songs on it or something. So something that would just keep me going. I know that these albums kind of hit me in a good spot, like feels really good. But I agree with you. I think it kind of does depend on, your mood. For me, it changes all the time what my favorite album is. But I'd say those were probably be my top three choices if I was stuck on an island.
Good, yeah. And hopefully this kind of perspective gives people something to think about and maybe some new artists to try out too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've just experienced another episode of Lawnmower in the Fast Lane, which is a podcast dedicated to helping Gen X and baby boomers become their best selves. We hope the content of this episode was both informative and entertaining. If you have suggestions or ideas for future shows, please email us at all one word, lawnmowerinthefastlane@gmail.com. Although seeking good karma points can pay it forward by liking and subscribing us on all social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Thank you and keep expanding your world.